This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
A day I'll always remember. Yes, I will. Cause it was the day that my daddy died. I never had the chance.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12. We're broadcasting live at the McBride Home. It's the Blues Home Giveaway. If you go to blueshomeraffle.com, put $25 in there right now, you can win this incredible home. Two stories, three bedrooms, two and a half baths, valued at $250,000. The best master bathroom, the best master bedroom, the best closets of all time. Let's head to Jupiter, and it's always good to talk to Mike Claiborne, because today when we were talking, he told me the weather is really bad, and it's about freaking time you get some bad weather down there, because I'm sick of hearing about your 80-degree days and playing golf.
Well, since we've talked, the rain has stopped, but it's still cloudy, but it's breezy. It's not what I call ideal Florida weather. I don't see any sun. It's a little brisk. There are people with sweaters on. So, yeah, we're suffering, Frank. It's tragic down here.
So much to discuss. First of all, I know you've been watching the Billikens from afar, and you're as thrilled as anybody in town about this.
I'm giddy, man. I was watching the game. You know, they had it on one of the suites here. And, you know, they were getting tattooed pretty good in the first half, and then all of a sudden, I tell you what happened. So I'm standing in one of the suites, and next to us is Derek Jeter's suite. So he and I start small talking about some other stuff, and I just look up at the score, and I said, wait a minute, I got to go. He said, what's wrong? I said, Billikens about to climb back in there. He said, what are you talking about? Because, you know, he didn't know what Billikens were. And so I went down into another room in the ballpark with another guy, two other guys, and we just watched the game. And, man, I got to tell you, man, I was about to cry because I was so happy for everybody involved. You think about the season, you know, your alleged best player quits on you. You got a ton of injuries. They never use an excuse. And, you know, just knowing those kids, and you know the coaches as well as I do, and obviously Bob and Rammer. I mean, Rammer and Earl. I mean, you know, we're attached to them. And I was just tickled pink for those guys because they never gave up on themselves. They never quit. And, you know, you and I talked, was it Wednesday? And I said, why not St. Louis U? Why not them winning the tournament? Because they got some guys healthy. But I'll tell you another thing. You know, when Bonner came on board and came in to help in the practices and stuff like that, and just his wisdom and, you know Anthony as well as anyone. You know, he's a very eloquent guy when it comes to getting messages across. And I think he kind of got those guys on board, too, with the practices and just talking and believing. So I think personally speaking, it's the best story of the winter. And the only reason why I don't include the Blues in that is because their winter isn't over yet. And, you know, neither is the Billikens, but they're closer to having their season be over with because of the way the tournament works out.
Good segue into the Blues, Mike. You know, the big thing is, can they find secondary scoring, or can they find other forwards who can actually score? And last night, a combined 5 goals for Jaden Schwartz and David Perron. Perron's been good all year, but that does change everything if you get somebody besides that first line scoring.
Well, there's no doubt. Now, let's go back just a hint. The Edmonton Oilers shouldn't be confused for the 87 Oilers, okay? That team's a mess. All right, so, you know, it wasn't like they were playing a dominant team, but if you recall, it's teams like Edmonton that have given the Blues problems this season. And I was on earlier this week with somebody, I think it may have been Kelly and Hancock, and I felt like Schwartz had to be the X factor in what he's doing because, you know, when you get to the playoffs, the good lines are always neutralized because they've got a good line, you know, the number one line. So you got to find that secondary scoring. And if you look back at the playoffs, there's always that guy who comes up big in those sort of series. So, you know, maybe this is the start of something. Goaltending, you know, Bennington gave up a couple of bad goals last night. I know he wished he'd have liked to have back, but, you know, that comes with the territory. But overall, Yeah, I thought it was a good message to send to a bad team. You know, if they won that game 3-2 or, you know, had to go into overtime, you know, you say to yourself, wait a minute, you shouldn't even be thinking about these guys like that because they aren't that good. But they dominated them like they were supposed to, so let's keep it rolling.
Is there any concern on your part that the Cardinals have scored the fewest runs in Major League Baseball during spring training?
No. You know, I'm seeing some pretty good at-bats. You know, Fowler's hitting the ball on the screws a lot to people. You know, Matt Carpenter, when he was in the lineup, was having a really good spring. Paul Goldschmidt's been pretty consistent. You know, Drew Robinson, you know, I this is the first time we've seen him. And, you know, he strikes out too much. Tyler O'Neill has a lot of home runs, but he still strikes out a lot. The other guys have been putting the ball in play, and I think that's even more important because I think when the season rolls around, we'll see them more effective. So I'm not overly worried about it. I think good hitting is contagious, and once you get one or two guys going, and I think you'll see the other ones fall into place like dominoes.
So does it look like Dakota Hudson is in and John Gant comes out of the bullpen?
Yeah, it looks that way from here. Mike Schilt is going to announce something today about that, and I think we have a better idea. I still think that they're trying to figure out two things. Who's going to be out of the bullpen, maybe from the left side other than Andrew Miller? Also, you know, who else is going to be in there? I got to think Reyes is going to be in the bullpen. I think Leon's got a spot in the bullpen. Obviously, Hicks will sit on Carlos until he's ready to go. I think from the left side, you know, Chasen Shreve doesn't have any options. And I argue with people when they say, well, you know, I got to keep him because he's got either he's out of options. Well, if he was that good, we shouldn't be worrying about options. You know, let's talk about a guy who's doing something to help you be better. And if he isn't that much better than a guy who has options, I'm taking the guy who has options because I'm not taking him just because he's out. If he's that important, then somebody else would have wanted him by now.
Cardinals may have a third base health issue. Matt Carpenter and Jed Jerko. How are you seeing those injuries right now?
Well, Carp, he's not in the lineup today. I don't see him in the lineup until the weekend, if at all. Jerko thought he was going to come back sooner. That slowed down. I think they'll leave him here, and maybe he'll join us in Milwaukee if he's ready to go. With Carpenter, I think you may see something similar to that. I'm not overly concerned, but you know what? They told us Carlos would only be down for about 10 days, 2 weeks. So you just never know. And this isn't – I want to be clear on this. This isn't the doctors. This is what they speculate. And, you know, with players and how they recover, everybody's different. So this isn't where the medical staff misdiagnosed it because I think that they stay on top of this better now than they ever have. But it's sometimes players just don't respond to treatment as quickly as others do. So I think they want to be on the side of caution because it's a long season. And you don't want to blow a guy up in April when if he had a couple of extra weeks, he might be ready to take you in October. So I'm not really worried about that. I think it gives Jairo Munoz a chance to play. I'll tell you two other guys, Tommy Edman and Max Schrocker play reasonably well. And I like Edman a little bit better. They can play, and they can play in the big leagues, and I think they've shown a better accounting than Drew Robinson so far.
Tell me about Jairo Munoz a little bit. The thing about it is I know he's a right-handed bat off the bench, and the Cardinals have too many of those. But you know what I liked about him last year is he had significant at-bats against really good pitchers at crucial times. He's made this team for sure, correct?
Well, if he doesn't, then we're not taking the best 25 north with us. I think that's how you have to look at it. He's had a really good spring. They played him in the outfield. They played him on the infield. You know, he's a good player. You know, and I agree with you. If you give him a lot of at-bats, he won't embarrass himself. You know, I think he's done a nice job, and it started last year because the Cardinals didn't know what they were getting. I mean, they got him in the Piscotty deal, and you know, there were some stories about, well, maybe he doesn't work hard enough and this and that. But you know what? He's done everything they asked of him last year. So I'm not really concerned about what he can't do because he's been able to check most of the boxes that they need. And, you know, we could come north without a left-handed batter off the bench. And if we do, that means we're bringing the 25 best players that were afforded to us.
Any chance that Matt Wieters won't be the backup catcher, or is Pena still have a shot?
I think, you know, from where I sit, I think that they're the same guy. I know Wieters has got more experience, but I don't think either one has outshined the other. You know, Wieters, Pena's throwing better than Wieters. Pena knows the staff better than Wieters. Wieters blocks balls better than Pena. Neither one of them hit a ton. And Wieters obviously has a lot of experience, but, you know, he doesn't have a lot of experience with this staff. So I think it's kind of a wash. I don't think either one has dominated the other one for the job. So we'll see.
I think that there's a perception by some, because of the plethora of great young pitching, that the Cardinals will part ways with Michael Wacha. But what if Wacha pitches, you know, like the first half of this season, like he did last year before he got hurt, and things are really going well? You think there's a chance it could be the complete opposite and they lock up Wacha? Or what's your take?
You know, that's a great point you make. I think they'll play it by ear, because if Wacha can have a season that you're talking about, it'd be a first as far as his health.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a problem doing business with him, but, I mean, let's face it, Frank. You know, every year he comes down with some sort of debilitating injury that sidelines him for most of the season, if not all of the season. do they have help on the way? Yeah. I mean, you've got Hudson and Reyes will be in the rotation next year. And then after that, things kind of fall off to another level as far as starters are concerned. You know, to be honest with you, I'd be shocked if they wouldn't look around. See, I think a guy like Keiko would be a great addition, because you need a left-handed pitcher in your rotation, at least I think. So they got some options, and I don't know how they're going to go about talking to him, whether it's going to be something during the season, you know, where they feel like, okay, we can keep him, we'll lose Wainwright. So you could have a rotation of Wainwright, I'm sorry, a rotation not in any particular order, of Wainwright, Flaherty, Michaelis, Wacha, let me eliminate Wainwright. I keep saying his name. Reyes, Hudson, Wacha, Michaelis, Flaherty. That's a pretty good five.
That is, yeah.
You know, that's what, pretty. Now, you don't have a left-hander in there. And, you know, last I heard, Koufax and Carlton weren't coming back. But you know what? Maybe that's Gomber. You know, and I'm not giving up on Gomber. I think he's got good stuff. You know, he's playing with the slider. He hasn't used it effectively in games. But if you watch him in a bullpen, you think, well, wait a minute, where has this pitch been? His slider has been effective, but his fastball hasn't given him the bite that it needs as far as location is concerned, and that's what he's been getting hit with. So, you know, maybe some seasoning can get that straightened out, and that way you don't have to spend a ton of money on or players to go out and get another left-handed pitcher.
On October 1st, what do you think Adam Wainwright's season stats for 2019 will look like?
I'm going to say 13-9.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to say 13-9. You know, and now here's what you got to look at. And I think you and I have talked about this. I think the Cardinals ought to designate a guy out of the bullpen to piggyback his starts. And here's what I would say to Reyes. Hey, look, you're going to pitch four innings today because Wainwright started. And they're your four innings. There's not going to be a guy coming out of the bullpen after, you know, the seventh inning. They're your four. I'm going to tell my pitchers to take their cleats off and put their gloves in their lockers, because they're not pitching today. That way he gets experience. Wainwright gives you five hard. And at that point, you know, you're going to have a guy with major league experience that will still have enough bullets left for the second half of the season under higher leverage situations.
Good stuff. I like that thinking out of the box. And finally, speaking of thinking out of the box, I want you to give your theory. I don't agree with it, but I think I love the take on it, that you think the best basketball player in the NBA right now plays for the Golden State Warriors, and it's not one of the people that many of us think you're going to say. Go ahead and rationalize it.
It's Klay Thompson, and here's why. if there's a better shooter off the dribble, I'd like to meet him. If there's a better guy who can guard big man or small man in that role that he has with the Golden State Warriors, I'd like to meet him. When you think about his passing skills and how he can run the offense, he can rebound. He's so fundamentally sound, that's why people don't notice him. Because he's not a flashy guy, but he gets the job done. And, you know, Frank, we've watched a lot of guys who've had kids play in the NBA. I think he's the best second-generation player I've seen in a long time. I mean, I think he's better than his old man was. His old man was the first pick in the draft. But I don't think – now, you tell me who you think the best player is.
I think Giannis would be my guy because he's absolutely unstoppable.
He can't shoot, though. You know what? If he's not driving to the basket, he can't beat you. So if you play help defense on him, and you take the ball away from him, he's just a guy with a lot of length. He can't shoot the basketball from the perimeter to open up the floor. See, that's the thing with Thompson. You have to put somebody out there on him, so you can't double down low. And since Boogie Cousins has been there, they try and pound it inside to him, and he just kicks it right back out to an open Thompson because they forgot he was standing there. That's what makes him different than Giannis. Now, granted, there's nothing wrong with that guy. He's a really good player, and because he's a flashier player than Thompson, he'll end up being the MVP. But if I had a game seven and I had a guy that I wanted to have the ball in his hands to do something, and again, then that means take the shot, dribble drive and take and draw a foul, and by the way, make a free throw, and also find the open man. And that's something that Thompson can do, and if you don't think he can do all that, then I want him guarding James Harden or the best player on the other team for the last shot.
Yeah, I think you may be giving Thompson a little bit too much credit for being able to get his own shot at all times and beat people off the dribble. I'm not saying he's simply a catch-and-shoot guy, but where Giannis is unstoppable because he'll have the ball in his hands and he'll get to the rim. I mean, I don't care if he does not shoot 22-footers. He will get to the rim and dunk on you, and he'll also pass the ball. But Thompson, I think there's a chance that you could take.
You know what? It's a healthy debate. I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think that both are respect. And again, I'm not trying to put the other guy down. I put Thompson in this position. I think Thompson's resume of being a champion and being a big-time champion as far as making big-time plays probably gives him the lead in the clubhouse.
Mike, honored to have you on the program, sir. We'll be seeing you shortly back in St. Louis.
And my first stop will certainly be Kimo's Chop House. I have not been there yet. I've heard a number of very positive reports. So I'm going to probably look to get a table on that Saturday night, and I'll pull a name out of the hat, and I'll have somebody come with me, and I'll sample some of the great delights from the new Kimo's Chop House.
You're a good man. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, Mike.
You got it, man. Take care.
All right. The great Mike Claiborne joining us. Now joining us is the great Aaron Hankins from McBride, marketing director, and we are here for an incredible promotion. You tell our listening audience about what they have to do to win a free house today. Wait a minute, 1 second there. We get the mic. Okay, now you're good.
Okay. So we are working together with the Blues and their Blues for Kid Foundation to basically raffle off a new McBride home. So if you go to blueshomeraffle.com, you can go there, purchase a ticket, $25 each, or 5 for $100, and enter in your chance to win a brand new McBride home with all proceeds going to charity.
Yeah, let's talk about the charity. We haven't discussed that yet. So everybody that's putting in the $25, it's not like if you don't win, you're losing because you're contributing. Tell me about
exactly.
That.
Exactly. So the money is actually going to, like I said, the Blues for Kids Foundation, money going to support education in St. Louis. So four local St. Louis school districts are really benefiting from this.
So districts in the city that probably need a big contribution.
Exactly. So we have Ferguson, Normandy Schools, Riverview Gardens, and St. Louis Public Schools.
Wow. Any idea on what the numbers look like in terms of how many people have put in, or it's just too early to tell?
Too early to tell at this point. But, yeah, we're excited. We think this is a great opportunity for the Blues for Kids Foundation. We're trying to help them out as much as possible, local St. Louis schools. So, yeah, win-win for everyone.
I should know the answer to this, but is this this the first time you've ever auctioned off a house or in a raffle?
You know, I think maybe 10 years or so ago we did something like this. But this is the first time we've actually done something for charity, and we're hoping, you know, to make it maybe an annual thing.
Isn't there some blues insight into the actual home? Some blues players actually had a thought on how it should go? Or?
So we actually, the blues wives and, you know, spouses and girlfriends all kind of helped us out choosing some of the interior features for the home. They were really excited to get their hands, you know, in a part of this and really contribute. And they love working for the foundation, so it worked out well.
So you know those blues wives have champagne taste.
Exactly.
They're going to be spectacular.
That's why we have the absolute best in interior features in this home.
And give me an idea for our audience that's driving along right now, why this is a special home, some of the cool aspects of it.
So the kitchen is definitely the heart of this home. We have beautiful white cabinetry with crown molding, quartz countertops, stainless steel appliances, hardwood flooring on the entire main floor. I mean, this house is just completely decked out. Like you said, those blues wives, they have expensive tastes.
So it's kind of a common denominator and a theme with all your homes. You realize kitchen's the most important spot,
yep,
and then the master bedroom and the big closets.
I know. It's so funny because that really has turned into the second part or heart of the home, really. Big closets, the countertops that we even put into the bathrooms, these wave bowl sinks, double sinks. The shower is incredibly huge. Yeah, people seem drawn to that these days.
How many homes in this neighborhood you're building right now, and how many are sold?
So this is Cobblestone Crossing. It's in O'Fallon, north side of 70. I would say there's about 300 or so
300 homes
in this community. Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty expansive. This community is amazing, though. It has pickleball courts in it.
Really?
Yes. So this is like huge. We've all started putting this in a lot of our communities around the St. Louis area. People are drawn to this new sport that before was kind of only in Florida and California, but we're seeing a lot more in St. Louis.
And square footage wise in the home we're raffling off?
One we're raffling off is right around 2,000 square feet. Two story, three bedrooms, 2.5 baths.
All right. So go to blueshomeraffle.com. Is there any other way you can buy a raffle ticket?
They're going to be selling it, raffle tickets at all the Blues Homes games from here on out. Or if you stop by any McBride display home, we can help you enter there.
Good stuff. We appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, Brian, let's read a couple of texts here. But before we do that, let me tell you about the Bomarito Automotive Group. Price sells cars. Bomarito's Missouri's number one automotive group. Nobody has more. Nobody sells more. Over 30,000 cars a year, 20 new car locations, 9 pre-owned car locations, and 16 service centers. They are the number one choice for your automotive needs in St. Louis. Brian, there's some news on Mr. Kraft.
He is rejecting the plea deal.
I knew it. Yeah, how about that? We'll see what happens there.
I'd imagine his issue with it is the part about him having to admit that he would have been found guilty in a court of law. I'm guessing he's going to want to try to expunge that.
Yeah. I think he's done in the NFL, though. I mean, if they give Kareem Hunt 8 games for pushing a woman, and they gave, I think, Jimmy Irsay got 6 games for a DUI. Yeah, this is pretty serious business. So, they're going to announce the winner of the raffle on April 1st, correct? April 1st? Yes. Somebody just texting in, when is the drawing? April 1st. So you got to do it right now.
If I know somebody who is entering into this raffle, I have a cruel joke to play. That's your guys' fault for putting the drawing on April 1st, I'm just saying.
Oh.
That's right. Splashback Deuce. How much does 2 steak dinners at Kemal's run? Oh, about $10. Let's see what else.
Someone chiming in saying Klay Thompson is important. However, he's the 3rd best player on his own team.
That's not saying a lot when the 2 people better than him on his own team are maybe the 2 best players in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't agree with Mike saying he's the best player in the NBA, but I can see his rationale. The one thing I think you can do with Klay Thompson is I think you could probably contain him. You chase him all over the court, and I don't think he beats you off the dribble and does all that other stuff. He's a really good player, though.
I would definitely phrase it as he's one of the best two-way players in the NBA.
Absolutely. He defends. People don't realize
yes.
that. All right. Both are wrong. It's KD. I wouldn't argue against KD either.
I thought he was describing KD until he mentioned being the son of a former NBA player. Because if you go back and listen to everything Mike said, it applies to KD. He talked about being able to score inside and out. He talked about being able to guard inside and out, big and small. Everything he said, he talked about rebounding and passing. Everything he said could also be applied to KD until you get to had an NBA dad.
Frank, I heard that interview Mike did with you on KMWX over the weekend. It was really nice. I enjoy hearing you two chat about whatever. Crockett and Tubbs. Yeah, Mike's one of my oldest and best friends. I think they're re-airing that tonight on KMOX. Frank, did you know? How about this, Brian? Huh? Did you know that every Blues player that scored last night had a 7 on his jersey from the Salty Pretzel?
That's funny.
Good insight there.
Stephen Wildwood chiming in that Kraft can't even get a massage during one of the most stressful moments of his life.
How about the picture that somebody sent in about the Patriots and the draft
with
choice?
With the 32nd pick in the 2019 NFL draft, the Patriots select, and it's an Asian massage therapist.
That's really good. Frank, that's the airport closest to Silicon Valley. Companies are located. Those deep pockets allow airlines to charge what they want. Yeah.
And I can't imagine there are many flights from here to San Jose in general, so that probably jacks up the price as well.
Yeah, good point. Let's see, anything else? So in the NFL, doesn't make you go away for beating your girlfriend, but if you get a blank, the NFL will make you go away. Come on, Frank. Well, actually, they do. Has Ray Rice played a game again? Is Kareem Hunt suspended for half the season? Now, granted, they were slow out of the box, but now they're not messing, especially if the video comes out.
The underlying part of this also is, I think Goodell kind of wants to get Kraft a little bit. He's a little pissed at New England after how they've acted with the whole Deflategate thing. Maybe this is his chance to kind of poke back.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. Yeah, that's definitely an element. The best player in the NBA is Russell Westbrook, hands down. 3 straight years averaging triple double.
I'm sorry, what?
No.
He breaks airballs and breaks 3-pointers on a regular basis this season. He's a great, incredible player, but come on.
I tell you, let me ask you this: the two great players in the NBA that you wouldn't want to play with, and it would be. Oh, you go ahead and tell me, and I'll tell you.
It'd be Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler, undoubtedly. Jimmy Butler's number one, and then there's a huge gap, and then it's Russell Westbrook.
James Harden is the guy I would not want to play with.
That's probably a good one. At the same time, Jimmy Butler's going to make you feel bad for being bad at the game. James Harden is going to turn you into invisible and maybe help you insulate yourself for that new next contract. I'm just saying. Yeah. Jimmy Butler's going to expose you on the practice court and then talk about it to an ESPN reporter.
I assume you got the Crockett and Tubbs reference. Yes, I did. Big fan of Don Johnson's clothing back then, although it's a little out of style now. Thank you, Courtney.
Hey, you bought the turtleneck back. I say you roll up that sports jacket sleeve. I'm saying.
Hey, let me tell you something, too. They had a list out the other day of the best-dressed men in the world, and I think 2 of the 10 had turtlenecks on. For this pictorial.
Frank's like, I was ahead of the times on this one.
That's right. We'll take a short time out. Martin will join us when we come back.